Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to look at verse 11. And it says, "And he himself," this is speaking of Jesus, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." That's what we call the fivefold ministry gifts. And there's a lot of teaching out there about fivefold ministry gifts. I'm not here to do that today at all. But I am here to point out that one of the responsibilities of a pastor teacher is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. A lot of people look at me and go, "Well, I wish I was called to the ministry." You are. You are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you're called to the ministry of reconciliation. All of us are called to that. And so my calling is to equip saints. And one of the things that we're going to do is teach you today how to do a word study. Now, I've never actually done this in this type of setting before. I've done it as a class. Sometimes it's been really good, and other times it's been a little bit dry because it's kind of nuts and bolts. But my job is to equip you. I want you to learn how to do a word study. Now, you may already have your system, and that's fine. I'm just going to teach you how Wade Davis does it. It's not that my way is the right way or the best way. It's the best way for me. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Are you excited about this? 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want you to look at verse 15. And I'm going to read from the traditional King James. And it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so that's what we taught last week, was how to rightly divide the truth. The importance of rightly dividing the truth. Because what that tells me is that there are people that will wrongly divide the word. You know, you really do have to have help misunderstanding the word. And the enemy's out there working hard at it. In fact, in the Amplified Bible, it says, "Correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth." Now I want you to go over to John chapter 8. So we need to be skillful in how we handle the Word of God. In fact, part of what we taught last week is that rightly dividing the Word is a skill, just like playing guitar is a skill. And the more you practice, the more proficient you get at that skill. And it's the same thing with rightly dividing the Word. The more you practice, the more you do it, the more proficient, the more accurate you become at doing that. It's awesome. But we never arrive, just so you know. In fact, let me say about study, we need to be students of the Word. That's going to be one of the keys here in just a moment. But we need to be students of the Word. Because the day you stop learning, you start to lose whatever you know. It's true. If I, you know, I could play guitar, gosh, almost 50 years. But then I could just kind of quit for a couple of years. You know what? I would still have some of the things. And some would say, "Well, that's just like riding a bike." No, I will have lost some things. And where I would have advanced to goes the other way. All right. Are you there in John yet? John chapter 8. Look at verse 31. "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" How many of you heard that verse before? The truth shall set you free. The truth shall make you free. There's a lot of people that are quoting from verse 32, and they don't realize there's a qualifier, which is verse 31. In fact, in the traditional King James, it says, "If you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, then you will know the truth." We want to know truth, right? The qualifier or the prerequisite to knowing truth is we have to make a decision that we're going to continue in His Word. I like the way it's worded in the New King James where it says abide. You know what abide means? That word in the Greek means vitally united. My arm is vitally united to my torso. If I separate them, the arm dies. And see, we need to be vitally united to Jesus' Word. He is the Word of God. then you're a disciple. Then you will know the truth, and then that truth will set you free. It's not enough just to say the truth will set you free, the truth will set you free, the truth will set you free. No, it's because you continue in His Word. Praise God. That's why we have DE on Tuesday nights, is to help people continue in the Word of God. Amen? Now go over to John 14. I'm just laying a little bit of groundwork before we get into the nuts and bolts of this thing. John 14. These words again are in red. Look at verse 26. And Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Now, isn't that awesome that the Holy Spirit is going to be ultimately the one that teaches us? It says over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says, "You don't have need that anyone teach you." In other words, you don't need a go-between except for Jesus. Then it winds up saying the Holy Spirit, or calls Him the anointing in that verse, He abides in you. He will teach you all things. So the Holy Spirit is ultimately our teacher. That doesn't mean that we don't need times like this where there's teaching going on, but ultimately you're learning by that inner witness. You're learning by the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's what I want to do. I want to preach you hungry. I want you to be so hungry for the Word of God when you leave. I love it when people go, "We're done already? That's good." Because I've been to those churches where it's like, "Will you come on?" You know, I mean, that's enough already. You know, you keep saying the same thing over and over. You know what I mean? We need to be hungry for the Word of God. And blessed are the hungry, because they shall be filled. See, God's going to fill us, and it's a good thing. And so I want you hungry for the Word of God. But it's ultimately, you're hearing, even though you're hearing the voice of Wade Davis, you're actually hearing the voice of the Creator bearing witness as you hear the Word of God. And then you should be like the Bereans over in the book of Acts. What did they do? They received the Word with all gladness, all readiness. And then they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. See, all things have to be judged. I would never deceive you, ever. Would never do it. But you still have a responsibility to take the Word yourself and go check it out. You and the Holy Spirit. See, and He's going to remind you of what He said to you. Isn't that a great promise? I mean, I remember the first time I sat down ministering to a guy. He just came into a prayer meeting. We were actually having praise and worship practice on a Saturday night in Ocala. And this guy came in and he just said, "Do you mind if I sit down and listen?" And well, sure, go ahead. You know, we're just working out songs and doing all this. And the Lord ministered to me to talk to him. And I was still fairly young in this rededication process, and actually pretty young at hearing the Word of God. I just took him in the bookstore and just began to talk to him. And his wife was pregnant by another man, and they were getting ready to split up, and bad things were happening. And I was amazed at how many scriptures I knew. And the Holy Spirit was just taking me one after another, one after another. He got rededicated. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. That happened that day. I was shocked. I was like, I did not know that I knew that. But that's that promise. See, you have a lot more Word in you than you know. And the enemy wants you to think, well, you haven't done enough study. You know what? You've got your own testimony. If you don't have anything else, you can go before somebody and say, "You know what? All I know is I was blind and now I see." Kind of hard to argue with that. Are you with me? But we're entering into a process of being students of the Word. Why? We want to continually learn. Continually learn. I do that with the guitar. I make sure that I learn something new every week. I make sure I learn so that I keep getting better and get better at it. So it's a skill. Amen? Now, you're there in John 14. Go over to John 16. This is turning out to be pretty Holy Ghost here. I thought it was going to be a little dry, but praise God. John 16, look at verse 12. Jesus is again speaking, and He says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." And I always ask the question, why? Why can they not bear them now? That's like Jesus saying, "Hey, I got a lot more to tell you, but I can't right now." Are you with me? And I would be like, well, why not? Because they're not born again. And we know that from the next statement right here. He says, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. Isn't that awesome? So in other words, Jesus is telling you, I'm going to communicate to you later, but it's going to be through the person of the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. We're still going to hear from Jesus, but we're going to hear from him through the Holy Spirit. So he reminds us of things to come. He guides us into all truth. He takes exactly what Jesus is telling him to say and says it to you. Well, that's awesome. People say, I just can't hear from God. No. That is not true. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they'll not follow. So if you can't hear God, you're not listening. I'm sorry to tell you that. But it's the truth. Because God doesn't pick and choose who he's going to speak to. He's speaking to all of us. He has something for everyone, every day. Thank you, Lord. I knew that wasn't a place to shout, but there it was. All right, go over to Mark chapter 16, and then we'll get right into the nuts and bolts here. Mark 16. See, the reason I'm showing you these verses is you need to understand that when you enter into a process of being a student, it's not like you're going to college and you just sit in the library and do a bunch of research. You need the person of the Holy Spirit. That it can't be overstated, his involvement in this process. Because if he doesn't show it to you, you will never see it. You could read a verse 1,000 times and never see something that God wants to reveal to you. But the moment he reveals it to you, you see it. And that's why I want you to understand that we're students of the Word of God, and it is supernatural. Amen. This is how God speaks to us right here. This is how he speaks to us. And I heard, I think it was John Avanzini years ago say this, that the more word you have in you, hidden in your heart, that's the more that the Holy Spirit can remind you, right? And so the more of this you have in you, he said it's like letters on a keypad, like on your computer, you've got letters. Well, if all you know is John 11:35, Jesus wept, all you got is a Z. You know, it's going to be hard for him to communicate to you. But the more you have in here, it's like letters on that keypad, and the Holy Spirit can articulate exact communication to you. So the word, the role of the Word of God is so vital. In fact, look at Mark 16, look at verse 20. And they went out, this is talking about the disciples, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. How many of you like that verse? It's awesome that God works with us. But notice the word them is italicized. That means that in the original transcripts, that word is not there, and that the editors added it to help complete the meaning. Well, it really doesn't belong there, because read it without that word them. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So what does the Lord work with? He works with his word. Certainly he's working through us, because we've got to give that word voice, right? The angels hearken diligently to the sound or the voice of God's word. Well, who's giving it voice? You know, I could go over here and I could say, okay, Ben, I'm turning this on the handheld. I want you to crank it up. Are you going to be able to hear it? No, I've got the microphone up to the Bible, and I'm telling him to crank it up. No, we have to give it voice. We have to give it voice. But the Lord works with his word, and he confirms his word. There's a lot of people adding to his word. Go read Proverbs 30. That's not a good idea. Don't take away from his word. Don't add to his word. Just his word is what we need. Isn't that awesome? And we get results. Now, here we go. Are you ready? We're going to get into it. I'm going to give you six keys to doing a word study. The first one is be a student of the Word. So you can make a decision right now. You know what? I am going to be a student of the Word. Most of you are already in that process. Most of you are already students of the Word of God. But it's not just something that we visit a promise here and there. I'm talking about that this is our life sustenance. This is something that we eat on a regular basis. I would say daily basis, because it's daily food, daily manna that's coming to us. And as we do that, revelation comes. You hear God speak to you. And so what do? Write things down when you're doing studies and teachings. Be somebody that writes it down. I cannot tell you how many times I get a lot of this when I'm driving, so I can't write it down. But I'll tell Julie, hey, write this down for me. And I'll write this down. I need to write this down. And it'll be some nugget or a revelation or whatever. And I get the most of it when I'm driving, it seems like. So. And listen to a lot of teachings. Watch videos of teachers that you receive from. Now, I'm real picky about the teachers I glean from. Every once in a while, somebody will come up and say, hey, have you heard of so-and-so? And I'm like, no. And then they'll give me material or whatever. I'm not eager to listen. You know what I mean? I've got a regimen of teachers that I listen to. And that's not to say that I'm closed-minded, but I know the ground's been proven, so to speak, and I know what I'm going to get. You know what I mean? If you go to a Kenneth Copeland meeting, you know what? You're going to get saturated with the Word of God. And it's gold. I'm telling you, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. I listen to guys like Keith Moore, obviously Andrew Womack and Barry Bennett, a lot of good teachers out there. Guys like Mac Hammond and on and on. Kenneth E. Hagin. I mean, there's a bunch of them. I grew up under Charles Capps. Charles Capps helped me get my head on right. He had that simple farmer's approach. And so what do? You just become a person that constantly listens and constantly learns. I call it the learning anointing. Right now, you're experiencing the teaching anointing. And the teaching anointing is a little different than the learning anointing. Because when I'm sitting down with all my materials, which I'll get to in just a moment, there's a learning anointing. It's like I read Psalm 89 or something like that. And it's so alive. The Word is so alive at that moment. I like cut and paste the whole thing and bring that to the message. Like, I need all of this. When actually I just needed one verse. You know, but it's just so alive when you're learning. It's a blast. I'm telling you, it's awesome. It's so much fun. I hope I'm stoking you to want to do this. Now, as I mentioned, listen to a lot of teachings. Pull up the next slide, if you will. Our website, I don't know how many of you have availed yourselves to that, but do that. Go there. Some people, churches, they hire guys to design websites, and it's all this sight and sound, cutting edge stuff, and it's just canned photos that they got off of iStock photos and different things like that, and it's just catchy little phrases, and the idea is to get you to come, and you can't find out what kind of church it is. I want people to know we are a Spirit-filled church. It's better to get that settled at somebody's house than for them to come in and they're not looking for that. There's going to be a percentage of people, this is the wrong church for them. You know, I was looking for stained glass. You know, that's what they're looking for. And so that's not us. But you should, when you go on our website, that's what we wanted, was to for you to feel like you've been there. So go on there. That's the homepage. Go to the next one. And on there's a tab across the top called Teachings and Music. And if you want, there's all kinds of material, pages and pages and pages. There are almost a couple of hundred messages that are on there. Avail yourself to that. It's free. You can download it for free. People try to get me to sell this stuff. No, you need to sell this. No, it's free. God wants it free. I'm more blessed because it's free. I assure you, I'm more blessed because that's free. And then there's some of Julie's recordings, things that we've recorded together, some studio things, some live samples and different things. Go to the next one. This is just kind of as a point of reference. This is a couple of pages. The leadership of the church is on there. The board of the church is on there. And you can see who we're connected to and all those kinds of things. So all that information's on there. And it's a really neat thing. So avail yourself to that. Karen, you do this like once a week. She'll sit under the Word like she is right now, and then she'll go back and listen to it again. She'll download it again. She goes back and hits pause and writes a few things, hits pause. So she's devouring the Word of God. It makes a difference when you're a student of the Word. Amen? The second key is have the necessary tools. Now, I brought a whole bunch of them with me. This is not all that I have. This is all that I could find. You want a dictionary. Why? Because every once in a while I come across a word, I don't know what it means. Or I think I know what it means and I'm wrong. Sometimes I'll look it up. Okay, well, what does that mean? Webster's is one of the best. He was a Christian. Then I use the Message Bible. Amplified Bibles are awesome. It's important to note, though, in the brackets, it's commentary. In parentheses, it's word study. And you need to know the difference. So you can't read it like it's all gospel. If you hit brackets, you're reading someone's opinion. Now, it may be a good opinion, but it's still commentary. And then I have a Vines expository dictionary. And those are the tools I use. And I have a couple of, I have a Young's Analytical Concordance. And used to, I would take and have all these books all over the dining room table. And then I would go from this book to that book to this book. Now I'm going to tell you how to be lightning fast with all of this stuff. It's called eSword. eSword. Write it down. You want it. It's free. How many of you heard of eSword? Yes. All right. Everybody needs eSword. It's awesome. It's e-sword.net. And if you go to e-sword.net, you can download it for free. It's awesome. Look at the next page. These are some of the things that it does. I don't have this many pages open on mine because they've got like topic notes and study notes and commentaries. I stay away from commentaries. You know what I mean? Once in a while, maybe I'm stuck on something and I'm like, okay, well, I wonder what Jack Hayford had to say about that. My Bible is a Spirit-filled life Bible that he produced, and I'll go and see maybe what Jack said. Jack is gold. But you see how there's a cursor and then there's a box open in the middle? This is what's awesome about it, is you place the cursor over that number. See how you're seeing the King James up there, Romans 8:29, and then that cursor is over that number. Then the box pops up that shows you the Strong's definition. Talk about fast. I mean, while you're sitting there looking at it, you can just drag your cursor up there instead of breaking the book out and having to go to the front, go to the back, find the number, do all that. I mean, you can do it that way if you want to, but this is so much faster. And there's all these different translations that you can get. I have Amplified, New Living Bible, Good News Bible, The Message Bible. And you also have to remember that The Message Bible, this is a paraphrase. This is not a translation. This is like a guy reading the Bible and then telling you what he thinks it means. See, so you have to remember when you're reading that. So I don't quote from The Message that often. Just wanted to let you know about that. Then go to the next one, if you will. You also have the ability to do your own parallel Bibles, whatever translations you like. You can actually scroll down and read all of them side by side. I'll have the New Living, the New King James, the Amplified, and the traditional King James, so I can use the Strong's Concordance. Did I tell you that it's free? I mean, you ought to have this on your computer today. You need this. It is awesome. I leave this here anymore. This stays at church. Why? Because I do all my study on eSword. It's just so fast. It's amazing. Another thing I didn't mention, when you pop up that Strong's right there, you can hit right mouse click on that same process, and you can do a word search on that particular word, no matter how it's translated, and it will show you every place that it appears in the New Testament or the Old Testament, depending on which one you're looking at. So it doesn't matter. Like with the Strong's, you got to know how it was translated in order to find it. But this way, you now have the ability to search that word out. We talked about pastor. Okay, somebody told me that the word pastor is only in the Bible one time. Well, it's only translated pastor one time. It's in there 18 times. And the other 17 times, it's translated shepherd. And out of that, 12 of them refer to Jesus. So with this, you can right mouse click on pastor and you can see them all. That's how I knew. That's how I did it. I don't have to do the math. I don't have to go in and count it. It just tells you all every place that word's used. So I can't overstate how important this is, or how easy this makes life, because it replaces all of this and even more. Praise God. Here's another thing where you can actually take one verse and you can look at it in all the translations that you have. So there's just different features on there, different ways to set it up. You can customize it for yourself. So I'm not doing a commercial for them, except it's just a massively great tool that's available to us. And so you ought to take advantage of it. Another thing is to have an Amplified Bible. Use the Vines Expository Dictionary. And I mentioned to you the Young's Analytical Concordance and other versions of the Bible. There are some people that teach and preach that King James and King James only. You ever heard that? Anybody ever heard that? Well, I'm sorry, but I don't order from the drive-thru at Wendy's in King James English. I don't do it. Not that that's not a great language. I mean, it was awesome. Our language now has been degraded, you might say, if you look at how, especially how teens are texting each other. I mean, the language means something completely different than it used to. But I need something in a modern vernacular. So me, personally, I use the New King James because it's in the vernacular that I use, and it's close to the traditional King James. So if somebody's using the traditional King James, I can follow them. It's easy to follow them. And I just happen to like that version of it. And again, I'm going to go back into the Greek and into the Hebrew, and I'm going to check out what those words actually mean. The third key is know how to use a concordance. That's really important because you'll hear me, and when you come in here, I'll say, that word in the Greek means this. And I actually cut and paste right off of eSword. Boom, there's your definition. You know, I make it look pretty and put all that cool stuff in the background, but you know what I mean. It's right out of that. I cut and paste exactly what's in that. And so here you're looking at Romans 8:15, and I just chose the word adoption. So the word adoption is word 5206. See the G? That's telling you that it's Greek. If we were in the Old Testament, it would be an H for Hebrew. But this is telling you that it's the Greek word for adoption, 5206. So that's where you would find it in the Strong's Concordance. But now you have eSword, so you just drag the cursor over the 5206 and it shows you the next thing. Go to the next one. It shows you this definition. And you ever hear me say, well, this word that's used for adoption, it's from another word. You ever hear me say that? Well, there it is. See, it's from this word, a derivative of another word. And so you kind of see an etymology of Greek words, how this word sort of evolved, if you will. You see the Greek spelling, then you see the English spelling, and then there's the phonetic pronunciation. So that's the word adoption. Then you go, like I mentioned to you, the Vine's Expository. This is why I use this, because when you come up against certain words, you'll have options of how to use that word. Sometimes the word means all of the options at once, such as the word shalom. In the Hebrew, it means prosperity, health, peace, all those things, all at the same time. It's an all-inclusive word. Sozo is another one that's an all-inclusive word. Well, then there's other words that context is how you determine how you're going to use that word. And so when you look in the Vine's Expository, the first paragraph is usually pretty close to the Strong's. I'll tell you the Strong's numbers, like they work together. W.E. Vines put this together. Notice the first thing in Romans 8:15, then it tells you how that word's used. Go to the next one. In Galatians 4:5, here's how that word is used. And go to the next one. In Ephesians 1:5, here's how that word's used. And you see, so you have options that are contextual based on the context. And I had another three paragraphs. I figured we'd make the point with just the three. Okay, the fourth key is how to begin. How to begin. Typically, I study topically. For me, it's typically topically. That's the way I do it. What do you want to know? What are your questions? What is it you want to know? If you want to know more about healing, type in a search, healing, boom, here they come. And then right mouse click. Oh, that word's also translated saved. Oh, that's cool. That word is translated cure. See, it could be the same word translated a lot of different ways. So if you want to do a study immediately on eSword, you can have 50 verses or 100 verses that deal with the subject of healing. You can actually download all of them, or you can take and cut and paste little parts of it. It's just awesome how you do that. But I study topically. And sometimes the Lord will just give me an idea or something that He wants me to pursue. And it's like we were talking about redemptive gifts. Well, what happens? You start studying that, and then that learning anointing kicks in. Buddy, it's awesome. Because when you're looking through the Word, everywhere you look, you see the gifts. Everywhere. It's like, oh my gosh, how did I miss this before? And you'll read verses that you've read hundreds of times before, but all of a sudden, there's a light on it. Why? Because I'm a student of the Word, and I'm looking at it in light of a topic. If you go through the whole New Testament, and you look for healing, I use that as an example. You will see healing everywhere. It will blow your mind how much healing's in there. Or prosperity. or if you look up faith or whatever, whatever this topic is. But that's typically how I do it. I study topically. Key number five is ask. Wow, that's a big one, right? Go over to Matthew chapter 7. Ask. What do you ask? I always, and I emphasize that word, I always have questions before the Lord. Some of those questions have sat there for a number of years. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost hits the revelation button. And you see it, and you're trying to tell somebody. You know, Julie, waking her up, that's not the best time to give her a revelation. But, you know, you just can't. You're just so excited, you know. It's awesome. You got to tell her what you learned. It's awesome. But you ask God. In fact, you're there in Matthew 7. Look at verse 7. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Now that's in your Bible. God's not going to frustrate you. If we inquire, He's required to answer. And there's only one question that I can come up with in the Word of God that God's not going to answer. And that's, when are you coming back? What's the date? What's the time? He's not going to tell you that. But I want to show you something, because I remember trying to memorize this verse, just kind of kept going over it. And I'm like, okay, is it seek, ask, knock, knock, seek? You know, trying to get the order of it. And I just noticed something kind of cool. So pull up the next one. It's all one endeavor. You ask, seek, and knock. There's the word ask right there. And out of that, I got a revelation that it's one endeavor. See, we're not just asking, we seek, and then we knock. So in other words, I ask the Lord for something, an answer, and the Lord says, there's a door. Oh, okay. And so what do? I seek for the door, and I find it. And when I find the door, I knock on it, and He opens it. It's one endeavor. I went, oh, you're so smart, God. You're just awesome. He just blows me away. And you know what? You can be blown away daily by the intelligence of our Father. He is brilliant. He'll make you look smart. Start talking like Him. You're going to look real smart. Glory to God. So what do? We ask. Go over to 1 John chapter 5. I'm hurrying. Wow. What happened to the time? You guys are pulling good. Now again, this is my method. You do it your way. Okay? I'm just sharing with you what I have. This is part of the equipping process, and you can learn. This way works. That I'm sure of. And nobody ever really taught me how to do this. I just got in a church where they began to teach, and I just kind of figured it out. Oh, okay, I need a concordance. All right. Got one, and I don't know if I supernaturally just knew how to use it or whatever, but just started using it and just began doing this stuff. I don't know if that was supernatural or if everybody knows how to do it. I don't know. But I'm amazed at how many people do not know how to study the Word. And, or let me say it this way, who don't study the Word. And I can only think to myself, the only reason that you don't study the Word is you haven't done it right. Because when you start getting it, it's a blast. When you get into it, it's alive. You hear me pray it every week. His Word is living. It's powerful. I don't have words to tell you what I'm trying to say, but it's just awesome. It's an experience to get into the Word. Marie, am I right? You were telling me the other day, an experience you had. All of a sudden, the Word is alive. It's alive. It's so much fun to watch folks coming to DE and see all the lights coming on, so to speak. Are you with me? It's fun. It's awesome. And I don't care if you've been doing this for 50 years, you can still get something out of DE. Amen. Why? Because the Word is living. It's infinite. There's more revelation to be had in the Scriptures. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, we know this to be His will, right? The Word of God, The written word of God is his will. Before you get to page one of the New Testament, it says the New Testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We would say it this way, the last will and testament. So it's a will in the sense of a legal document, right? So if I ask anything according to his will, or you could say according to his word, we know that he hears us, right? Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of him. See, there's people out there asking things that are outside of the will. You know what I mean? I've heard some crazy stuff like, Father, I'd like to marry that man's wife. He doesn't hear that. He's not hearing that. Are you with me? That, yeah, you hear that stupid stuff? You know what I'm talking about. Well, anyway, hopefully not here. Praise God. But we have to ask according to the will, see? And if we ask according to the will, he hears us. And not only does he hear us, but we have, present tense, the petitions we've asked of him. Not we will have, we have. So when it comes to word study, what do you want to know? Today's the second. I read a Proverbs every day. In Proverbs chapter 2, it talks about cry out for discernment and understanding. Ask for it. Ask the Father. From his mouth comes wisdom and knowledge. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. I mean, it's because he wants us to get vocal about a thing. It's okay. Father, I don't understand this. Will you help me understand? You know, why does it say in the Old Testament, in Exodus, that you harden his heart? Help me understand that. We talked about it last week. What happens? He brings you understanding. Oh, I see it. And you know what? Like I said before, always stay on God's side. God's a good God. And he's not inconsistent. He's not in a bad mood one day. And some people look at it like, well, there was the God of the Old Testament and there's the God of the New Testament. No, he's always the same. Their understanding was different. We have the greater light. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That's the dividing line of the Bible. Hold every situation up to that word. See, what you have is you've got people trying to interpret the word by their circumstances. No, you interpret your circumstances by the word. Man, I felt my helper on that. Glory to God. A little bit of preach, come on. All right, go ahead. Go over to Romans 8. The last key is be led. All right, be led. Sometimes people will ask you something and you don't know the answer. And you have to tell them, be led. And they think you're just giving them a pat answer. You know, you're just trying to brush them. No, that is the answer to a million and one questions. Be led. Be led. The Holy Ghost knows what he wants to say to you. Be led. Allow him to help you develop a thought pattern and to begin to put things together. Sometimes it comes so fast, it's hard to write it all down. That's why I like eSword, because I can keep up better. Are you with me? When I was doing it with my old pages, it'd be like, oh, now what was that? Oh, because that learning anointing is just coming at you. Why? The Word of God's alive. When Julie and I prayed about going to Clarksville to youth pastor, this was back in 1997, I decided that I had an offer, and it was actually the third offer we had from Pastor David Cook, and I went over to the Dinner Bell Motel in Dunellen, and I checked into a room. I told Julie, I'm going up the mountain. I'm going to hear from God. And I went in there, and I sat between those beds, and I worshiped God. And it was awesome. It was just an amazing time with him. And as I'm reading the word, it's almost like I went into a whole nother dimension of revelation. I don't mean to get all spooky and weird. I'm just saying the word of God was just electric and alive. And so I had to be really disciplined. I had a question. Do you want me to go to Clarksville or not? And if so, when? And I was involved in another ministry where we'd help Mike Henson up in Gainesville with New Life Church. We had helped another couple start a church, and I was going to need to step away from that and go to this. So these were the questions I had. The word was so alive, I was getting rhema everywhere I looked. It was just so alive. And I thought, I had to be disciplined to not do a rabbit trail word study after rabbit trail word study because I had a question I needed answering. And I was prepared to be there for days if need be. And I knew within an hour and a half what God had said and when. And it would blow your mind. I mean, he told me the exact day to leave Gainesville and when to go to Clarksville. And he did it through the Jewish calendar. And I'm like, what is the Abib? I don't even know what that is. You know, I'm just looking through the 14th day after the Passover. Oh. So I'm like, when's the Passover? April. Oh my gosh, April 13th. That's a Sunday. That's my last day. I mean, I got hoony puckers right now. I mean, because I hadn't talked to, and I've got every bit of that written down in here, notes in my margins, you know, just right in the side right here where God spoke to me about that. But I had to be disciplined not to go do those rabbit trail studies because the word was so alive. So you got to be led. You got to be led. The Lord will put things in your heart. He'll give you topics. He'll bring to your remembrance things that he wants to say to you. You're now a student of the word. So this is just part of your life. You know, I'm doing word studies while I'm driving. I don't have eSword up on the dash or anything like that. You know, but I'm meditating on the word. And the teacher, the one that guides me into all truth, is down here ministering to me and bringing revelation, answers to questions. And sometimes it's like, oh, I got to pull off, get out my YouVersion on my phone and let's find that verse. We're so blessed in this day and age with electronics that we can instantly have our hands on these things. Instantly. So we need to take advantage of that. But at the same time, we don't want to be too fast. It's a good idea to slow down. Like I said, when I'm in that revelation, I mean, it's like I'm wanting to study all these things because it was so alive. But I just said, no, I'm here for an answer. I'm here to get an answer. And I got the answer. Praise God. And I'm glad I did. Went into full-time ministry the next couple months after that. So, praise God. Did I tell you Romans 8? Okay, we'll go to Romans 8. Romans 8, look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You know, there's a difference between a son of God and a child of God. Everybody's a child of God, but very few step into sonship. And part of that is being a student and being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Did you get any help out of that? Praise God.